how do we honor the voices and the diverse needs of all the educators across our system, but also create models and programs that were sustainable for the leaders that we were calling upon to drive them.
Hello there, my name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by my new free webinar, 24 Tips for 2024, Simple Ways to Save Time Using ChatGPT. I'll share tips for educators who are new to using chatbots and ideas you can spin and make your own if you're already diving into the world of chatbots. We'll look at ChatGPT, of course, alongside alternatives like Claude and Bard 2. Join us for the free webinar live on January 4th, or if you miss it live, catch the limited replay during the month of January. Either way, head to classtechtips.com/2024 for more details. This week's episode is titled Setting Professional Learning Goals with Allison Rodman, and I'm so glad to welcome her back to the podcast today. Allie is a friend and fellow ASCD author and has a new book called Still Learning, full of tips and strategies for educators. I thought that January would be the perfect time for you to hear from her, although if you're tuning in later in the year, you are in for a treat no matter what, especially if you're looking to start the year with a new view on establishing professional learning goals. She shares plenty of tips, a ChatGPT strategy I think you'll appreciate, and lots of ideas to consider. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today. And before we dive into all things for the new year, like setting professional learning goals, can you share a bit with listeners about your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the invitation, Monica. I'm incredibly excited to be with you and listeners again. So in my day today, I'm a professional learning consultant. I work with schools and districts and organizations internationally to really help them understand how do we help adults learn better? And that could mean designing really effective needs assessments, making sure that we're not delivering the same one size fits all sit and get PD, and being really strategic about how we train building leaders and teacher leaders to be good facilitators, so that we're really drawing upon that sustainable leadership that exists within our own school-based teams and not always pulling in outside experts to do that work, because we know how valuable the people on our teams are.
And so many of the listeners in this podcast fall into a variety of roles, right? They might be a part of receiving a lot of professional development over the year. They might be in a space where they have a lot of agency to ask for help, or they're coaching and designing professional learning. You know, and today we're talking about this idea of setting professional learning goals, which I think is something that any listener of this podcast does, right? Naturally, whether they name it or not. I mean, they're tuning in, right, to an audio version of learning something new. And so before we get into a few tips and strategies, I'd love to hear more about where or when your passion for professional learning started.
It started when I was in the classroom. I was one of those recipients, as probably some of your listeners are, of just really bad PD, right? You'd kind of go into the auditorium at the beginning of the year, or someone would tell you, this is the new flavor of the month or flavor of the week. And you would kind of sort of wait to see how long it played out. Was this really a thing? You know, what was it going to look like? And I became really passionate about understanding not only how adults learn well, but also from a systemic standpoint, as a future leader, how we could make personalization sustainable for district leaders and building leaders, because I think that's the number one thing that comes up, right? You sit down with leadership teams and they say, yes, we know this is good practice, but we just don't know how to do it or what it looks like or how to still have systems for accountability in place. So that very much became a passion for mine as I transitioned from teacher to coach and then school leader to figure out how do we honor the voices and the diverse needs of all the educators across our system, but also create models and programs that were sustainable for the leaders that we were calling upon to drive them.
And I think that concept of sustainability, I mean, you and I talk so much about systems and planning and best practices, just to make sure things that we do can scale. And mm-hmm. in your book, I've got Still Learning. I think it's on the other side of my office right now, but I've got your book right here. You emphasize the importance of goal setting in professional learning. You know, it's the start of the calendar year, which often feels like that natural reset for listeners. You know, how do you define an effective professional learning goal?
One of the things that I think is distinct, Monica, from, you know, the education profession as compared to other fields is if you ask most educators, you know, what drives you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Most of us, appropriately so, would say our students, right? We're a people-focused field, and that's the work that we do. But in that, aside from student growth objectives and some of the things that drive our evaluative processes, very rarely do we sit down with teachers and coaches and leaders and say, okay, but what are your personal and professional goals, right? What's going to help you continue to grow as a leader and a learner so that you're modeling that continuous learning that we know is so important for students to see, that we recognize learning doesn't end when you graduate 12th grade or when you graduate college, but it's important for us to model those processes. So when we look at effective professional learning goals, it's making sure that first and foremost, it's centered in the professional themselves, right? We want to keep students at the forefront, but we also have to recognize that the educators in our systems are their own unique people too. And they have learning needs and learning wants that help them remain engaged and fulfilled in this work. And I think that's a big part of what we're seeing right now around teacher retention is I don't know that folks are truly feeling that. So first and foremost, it's making sure that that professional goal, even though it is professional, still has sort of that personal tinge to it, right? That it feels important and meaningful to each individual educator. And then along with that, I often coach leaders and teachers around using a smarter goals format. So really thinking about not only what is specific and measurable, but also what excites you and what feels a little bit risky in that goal setting process so that you continue to be energized by the work and by the day-to-day practices that you engage in.
And those questions of, you know, what is fulfilling, what is exciting to you are exactly, you know, as you said, connected to one of the biggest challenges facing our industry, right? Education right now, which is that retention, making sure people, right, are balanced, aren't feeling burnt out, and that we're really listening to them. And I know you have lots of experience with different districts, with different schools internationally, here in the States. You know, in your experience, what are the common challenges educators face when they do set these professional learning goals?
I think it really centers around personal time management and team time management. So you've got the goal in place, you're passionate about the goal, your team is willing to even engage in team goal setting processes, whether that be in your department, in your grade level team, perhaps a professional learning community that you're a part of. But then the rubber hits the road, and much like those New Year's resolutions that many of us may have set just about a week ago, it's a question of like, how are you going to make them be sustainable, right? What is the system that's going to back it up? What are the protocols and the processes that are going to help you keep that going? So a lot of my work, admittedly, with both leaders and teachers is around effective time management strategies. How do you time block your calendar? How do you set more sustainable habits and rituals so that those parts of your days become much more efficient and it makes you feel as though you have more time to dig into that focus work and the real work. And I think that's sometimes hard for folks to step back and admit like, oh, you know what? What I thought was multitasking was just really inefficient single tasking. And I need some help in this area. So, you know, as I've facilitated sessions at a number of conferences this past fall, I think that's been one of the number one things that's resonated with folks is not only having the tools to craft really powerful goals, and you know, we'll make sure to drop a link to a PDF to do that in the show notes together, but then also really thinking about where time is going and how are you using your time both at the individual and the team level in really intentional ways.
Yeah. And that time management, or really noticing how we're using our time, is easier said than done. I know this past year, you know, I've spent a lot of my professional learning facilitation around using chatbots to save times, or like even identifying like what is that tedious task, or where am I not using my time in the best way? So I love that idea of noticing and then setting up a system or a routine that really targets that, so you have time to tackle, you know, some of these professional learning goals listeners might set. So, you know, what role do you think technology plays in enhancing the process of setting and achieving professional learning goals?
There are so many different tools out there to help sort of craft your goals, but I think what's perhaps even more powerful is the tools that are available to maintain those goals, right? Whether it be a habit tracking tool, and there's so many across different platforms at this point. Like, I feel like they change daily in terms of what's available. Or, you know, a favorite of mine and a lot of leaders who really try and engage in focus work is using time management tools around the Pomodoro technique.
Yeah.
So being able to use some of the apps that are available for that to engage in, you know, 25 minutes of really intense focus work and then take a 5-minute break. But having the disciplined action to do that can be incredibly powerful. I've also seen technology be wonderful at helping us with accountability partners.
Yeah.
You know, so often having that individual to bounce ideas off of and to hold you accountable for both the personal and professional goals you set is so important. And that doesn't always have to happen synchronously. So whether we use, you know, a walkie-talkie tool like Voxer, or we're checking in on different, you know, conversation streams, but being able to leverage some of those tech tools to not only set the goals, but then hold ourselves accountable to them, I think is incredibly important.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about how, I guess, I think it was in December, November, I did a post on the blog with like 10 study tips for students, but the Pomodoro method was on there. There's like a free website you can just use, or a listener could Google right now. I'll link out to it, just to say, like, I'm going to build this behavior myself. Maybe I will share it with students, right? Or someone who I'm in a mentor-mentee relationship with, but even just practicing that discipline and leveraging that technology to do so is so important, especially when we think of technology sometimes as a distraction, right? Or getting in the way, or not wanting to see what's buzzing, right? As we're talking or chatting, or knowing we should be doing, right, something else. So are there any other examples of ed tech tools that have proven effective in that facilitating goal setting and tracking progress, like you mentioned?
So the past couple of weeks, I've been having lots of conversations with other professional learning facilitators and thinking about how do we help individuals with goal setting, but then also how do we make sure that the time that we have in a team setting is as effective as possible? And one of the things that I mention, or that I focus on in chapter 3 of the book, is the importance of perspective taking, of not just understanding our perspective, but then also understanding the perspective of others. And I have to admit, like, ChatGPT has been wonderful for me in terms of helping me be more personalized and have a broader sense of perspectives when crafting reflection questions for professional learning sessions, when thinking about the different modalities for action planning, being able to sort of get outside of my own experience even more broadly than I think I was presently able to, and leverage some of those tools to make sure that the materials I'm designing, the question prompts that I'm crafting, are as personalized and intentional as possible in a way that, you know, if I were to sit in my office and try and do that on my own, I could certainly do, but it would be so much more time consuming than if I were to leverage some of those, you know, artificial intelligence tools that are available right now.
And that's such a great example. We had Sarah Wysocki on the podcast last week, and she talked about personalizing activities you might create for students, right, with ChatGPT, which might be where a lot of people are thinking about using that tool right now. But those examples you gave of crafting question with someone's perspective in mind, right? Or even just saying, well, what if I am like this type of learner? Or what if I'm coming from this experience? Like, even just adding those extra caveats to something that you would typically do, just to give you a sense of like, oh yeah, that's perfect. Or I want to use that as is, or not quite what I meant, but it made me realize that this is what I do actually want to say. And the examples you gave are a good reminder too, you know, for anyone who's playing around with these tools or is hesitant to jump into them, it's like, they're not going to work unless you have a strong prompt and you have a vision for how you're going to use it. Like, it's not going to just spit out questions for you unless you really craft a prompt that provides directions and examples and those mentions on perspective. So I love that for someone who's maybe not developing instructional materials for students, but is really looking to craft their communication, right, in a stronger way, especially if they're in a professional learning role. So, you know, you already alluded to it that sometimes after the start of the year, things fall off, right, or things lose momentum. So are there any strategies you would suggest for educators to stay motivated and committed to their professional learning goals?
So it sounds super hokey, but things like vision boards and visioning and being able to have those partners with you in the work are so meaningful, and they really do make a difference. Being able to sort of center yourself at the start of each day and say, this is my goal, this is my area of focus. One of the core components of chapter 2 in the book, which focuses on alignment, is making sure that your daily practice, the things that fill up your task list, really are aligned to your purpose. And you can't do that unless you're revisiting your purpose, your personal goals, your professional goals on a daily basis. Otherwise, what happens? Our inbox becomes our task list for the day. And then we get to the end of the day and we're like, oh, my task list is longer. And most of the things I've done really haven't helped me progress towards that purpose. So I think that's, you know, one of the key features is having that vision or that purpose or that one word 2024, however you want to position it, kind of front and center for yourself on a daily basis. And then making sure to bring in the folks that are actually going to hold you accountable for it, who are going to check in with you and say, hey, did you, you know, get up and take that walk this morning? Did you finish reading that book or that chapter that you knew you wanted to, so that you're continuing to move forward in ways that don't just feel meaningful, but feel fulfilling? Because I think that's a big part of why we feel so burnt out right now as educators, is the steps we're taking are in this place of busyness, but don't necessarily have the intentional purpose that they have the potential to do.
Yeah, right. Sometimes it feels like, oh, I accomplished so much today, but did I? right. Just because I'm a little bit closer to cleaning out my inbox or this, right, this thing that feels fluffy. And, you know, and what you were talking about with the like, going for the morning walk, right? Or reading that professional article. You know, I heard someone say once, like, it's also that reframing of like, I'm a person who does this, right? Like, I'm a person who reads a lot of professional learning books. And so if I truly am that person, what does that look like, right? In action. And so I love that framing and the examples that you shared there, because I think it is easy to say like, okay, if this is important to me, right? What is it going to look like, right? Is it scheduled, right? Is it something that I'm really surrounding myself with people who are going to check in with me too. So, you know, I mentioned your book already about your fellow ASCD author. It's your second time, is that right? Publishing with ASCD, right?
You got it.
Well, your new book is Still Learning, Strengthening Professional and Organizational Capacity. What will readers find inside?
So I think they'll find sort of a surprising dual meaning to the term still, first and foremost. So, you know, when we think about educators, we look to them to be constant learners for our students. And implied in that is this sense of ongoing busyness that I don't know is always healthy. So, you know, when I really selected this, you know, with the team as a title for the book and positioned that word, it was very intentional that, yes, we have a professional responsibility to continue learning and engage in collective inquiry, but we also have a professional responsibility to be reflective and to stop and pause and think about, is this the most important or, you know, the highest leverage next step? Or am I just in this constant cycle of busyness because it feels like I'm moving forward when I may actually in reality be moving backwards? So I think that's the first thing, is that the book itself is very much grounded in that notion of being a constant learner, but also being a reflective one. And then across that, it outlines 5 specific disciplines at the individual, team, and organizational level that professionals can engage in to know themselves better as learners, to set better goals and engage in stronger habit setting practices, to have stronger team dynamics, whether that means being a better listener or, you know, better at follow through and action planning, And then also recognizing that the goal setting process doesn't just happen for the individual, that needs to happen for our teams as well to build collective efficacy and that sense of team progress in the work. And ultimately, from an organizational learning standpoint, I very much want our schools to be a model of not only what it means for students to learn, but for adults to learn. How do we create these learning ecosystems that celebrate personal mastery, that help teams form really strong mental models so that they become, you know, not just a model within the field, but beyond the field for how we do adult training and what this looks like and has the possibility to become in the future.
Well, I am so excited about your book. I have my copy. I think my Amazon review might already be up for it. I'm just so actionable and ready for anyone who is looking to dive into all the things we talked about today and a lot more. So I will link out to anyone who's listening right now. You can, of course, click on all the links to find out more. But where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Absolutely. So you can check out my website, www.thelearningloop.com. One of the things that was really exciting for me in crafting this particular book with ASCD is that not only is it a static text, but for every chapter, there's a QR code that leads folks to a page on that website where they can download editable PDFs so that if a concept resonates with you, you can immediately have the reflection tool in your hands. You can take it into that team meeting. You can use it in a professional learning session. So that is super exciting as sort of an ongoing and evolving part of the work. And then in addition to my website, you can follow me across social media at The Learning Loop. And I'm always happy to be a thought partner and help people think more deeply about what does really good and personalized professional learning look like.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Monica. It's great chatting as always.
It was so much fun chatting with Allison Rodman today about her new book. And if you are planning on going to ASCD's annual conference in March of this year, you can see both of us there and find our books in the bookstore there too. So let's finish up this episode with a few key points from our conversation. Set clear, sustainable goals. Create systems to stay on track. Find others to help you all stay accountable. Leverage digital tools to save time and stay on schedule. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Allison Rodman, by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode. It's number 249. This episode is sponsored by my new free webinar, 24 Tips for 2024, Simple Ways to Save Time Using ChatGPT. I'll share tips for educators who are new to using chatbots and ideas you can spin and make your own if you're already diving into the world of chatbots. We'll look at ChatGPT, of course, alongside alternatives like Claude and Bard 2. Join us for the free webinar live on January 4th, or if you miss it live, catch the limited replay during the month of January. Either way, head to classtechtips.com/2024 for more details. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.